Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow. Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka.
Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka.
Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Viewers of Madri Shah, before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, that if a person sends blessings upon me 100 times in a day, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill 100 of his needs, 70 of which shall be in the hereafter and 30 of those in this world. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, whenever I've done a program, a Madri channel, be it a live program or a recorded program, I make a claim. And so far, nobody's said that my claim is not true. And the claim is that the next package that we're going to go to is the best package on any program and Madani channel. And that is the Talawat of the Holy Quran. Inshallah, Shiraz Madani is with us, inshallah, today. And we'll request Ustaz Saab to recite a few verses of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نضرة وسرورا وجزاهم بما صبروا جنة وحريرا صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله. سبحان الله. Viewers of Madri channel, we just had the blessed opportunity to listen to a few verses of the Holy Quran, and Amir Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islam, he's encouraged us in his Pious Deeds booklet to listen to at least 3 verses of the Holy Quran with translation and commentary, or read 3 verses of the Holy Quran with translation and commentary on a daily basis. And you will know that when water drops on stone, you know, the drops of the water, watering on a stone, it can make a change in the stone shape. It can make a hole. It can make a groove in the stone. So if water dropping on stone can change its shape, what can ayat of the Quran dropping on hearts, on our hearts, do to us? So please make it part of your daily routine that you read a little bit of the Quran, even be a little bit, whatever it is you can read, as much as you read, but make it part of your daily routine. Before we introduce the topic, we're going to go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah, and then we'll come back and introduce the topic. Ji Madina.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah. واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہِ بطحا تیرا واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہِ نسبت ہا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا تو جو چاہے تو ابھی میل میرے دل کے دولے تو جو چاہے تو ابھی میل میرے دل کے دولے کہ خدا دل نہیں کرتا کبھی میلا تیرا کہ خدا دل نہیں کرتا کبھی میلا تیرا واہ کیا جو تو کرم ہے شہبت ہا تیرا ایک میں کیا میرے اسی کی حقیقت کتنی ایک میں کیا میرے اسی کی حقیقت کتنی مجھ سے سو لاکھ کو کافی ہے اشارہ تیرا مجھ سے سو لاکھ کو کافی ہے اشارہ تیرا چور حاکم سے چھپا کرتے ہیں یا اس کے خلاف چور حاکم سے چھپا کرتے ہیں یا اس کے خلاف تیرے دامن میں چھپے چور انوکھا تیرا تیرے دامن میں چھپے چور انوکھا تیرا تیری سرکار ملاتا ہے رضا اس کو شفیع تیری سرکار ملاتا ہے رضا اس کو شفیع جو میرا غوث ہے اور لاڈلا بیٹا تیرا جو میرا غوث ہے اور لاڈلا بیٹا تیرا صلو علی الحبیب
Viewers of the channel, today we're going to talk about social media. Is it a blessing or is it a distraction? Social media has its uses, social media has its benefits. We're all aware of that, but social media can also be a distraction. Social media can also cause problems for us as well. And alhamdulillah, we're going to discuss that in the studio today. But before we go over to our panel for the discussion, we've got the quiz of the day because I get told off when I forget to mention the quiz. So let's start with a quiz of the day, please. Let's start with a quiz of the day.
Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.
The question of the day is, in which city was Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam born? Now, I know some people in the studio are looking at each other thinking, huh? That's not really an hard question. That's a simple question. Trust me. I've been going around our madrasas. I've been sitting down with the children. I've been asking kids this same question. And one place I went, it wasn't our madrasa, thankfully. When I asked the children, where was the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam born? The answer they gave was Karachi. So unfortunately, there is, it was quite shocking actually, some of the answers that I was given. When I was asked children, what is in certain cities, certain blessed cities, what is there? Why do we go to them blessed cities? So we don't know, our parents go every year, but we don't know why they go. So inshallah, I'm hoping it's an easy question. Back to our topic of the day, social media, is it a distraction or is it a blessing? The panel is here today, inshallah, we've got many, many views amongst the brothers here. But within Dawat Islami, we've got a social media department. Within Dawat Islami, we're doing social media clips. Within Dawat Islami, we're doing social media posts. So shouldn't we be saying that no social media?
I think social media ultimately is designed to keep the viewer's attention, to keep him on the up. And yesterday I was just doing a bit of research and I realized that the phone itself and, you know, the actual tabs, the colors of the tabs are actually designed to, you know, make it appealing. So you go right into the app.
Achoo.
So one of the ways, and this I was actually found it interesting, one of the ways that was mentioned to, you know, to remove yourself from, you know, using or binge using these apps was to put your phone on the black and white mode. Because that actually makes it look just mono-colored. These colors attract us. So the point of the app on the social media is to keep you there and consume as much of your time as it possibly can. If you was to take entertainment as a whole and social media as a whole, you would put it into the desire section. Yani yada'u shahwatahu. He has abandoned his desires. What would normally, you know, entertain him or desire him, be his desire, or, you know, give him happiness and joy on a normal, regular day. So social media, all in all, is ultimately designed to keep the viewer engaged, to give him fast doses of dopamine, and just to keep him there engaged as much as he can stay there. And when you are consuming yourself with social media, and we know what's on social media, you know, even if you used to say it's, you know, 10% or 15%, there's goodness on there, the algorithm is designed to divert your attention from that. See, you might start off with something nice and interesting, the verse of the Quran, but it will end up with either selling you something or removing your faith. So it's ultimately designed for that reason.
And that's a good point, because it leads us into the next thing. Because you might start off with the best of intentions, probably. And I'm looking at religious messages. Now, what Amir al-Sunnah Dhamdar Khatamul Ali has done is what they always do in a very wise way. They've kind of created something there for people who can't get away from it. So if you say, I am addicted to my phone for 2 hours, then the message for you is, well, okay, go on to Dawat Islami social media website. We've got 50 million followers. We've got YouTube channels. We've got all the different platforms. Go on there and look for this stuff if you're addicted to it. Because the reality is, if somebody spends an hour on here, it's tried and tested. You can spend an hour on here with the good things and you still have the same impact.
But,
whereas you can
But how do I remember that one? You know, let's put into perspective, a total newcomer, okay? So basically, before he was learning, he was wanting to come into Islam as a, you know, as better Muslim. So he is used to looking at the social media. He has aspirations. He probably follows certain people, like Islamically, that's brought him closer. So for that element, for that particular person, that the social media will play a massive part, because they will go on there, they'll try to follow their footsteps, how they've bettered themselves. So that's why Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, Al-Bay gave us the tawajjuh. I think we need to do more, that in such a way, aspire them and then bring them into the mahal, bring them into the masajid, and undertake all the dinikam that we do.
I think the point you make is a brilliant one, because what you've done is you've differentiated between the two. What we were talking about was scrolling.
Yes.
What you're talking about is, for example, if I love listening to Abdul Habib Bhai's Bian, if I go onto social media, look for him specifically and listen to his Bian, which I was, alhamdulillah, I was doing last night, you know, I focused in, yeah, I've gone to his Bian. That is good.
Yes.
The problem that we are talking about is when I'm scrolling. Mm. When I'm scrolling, I don't control what I have. And so social media is good from that angle. As Khalifa said, we've got all these departments.
Yes.
They're doing all this work. it's for those people who are going to come in and say, for example, your kids, yeah, we need to do something. You know, you focus in, you go to Ghulam Rasool, you go to the cartoon, you download it or you put it on and it's there. Your kids' Madni channel, you've got it there, gives your kids entertainment. That's fine if you need to provide that out, yeah, for yourself or kids. But it's the problem we're talking about is just scrolling. Scrolling is...
I think many, many years ago, Medicine with regards to the internet, he mentioned that it's like a sharp knife. And that sharp knife can be used to cut your food, but it can also be used to harm yourself as well.
Mm.
And I think the same goes for social media, the same goes for TV, the same goes for anything really, that we see on social media that there are many benefits that, you know, you see all the social media platforms that Dawah Islamiyah has. You can go on there and listen to the Quran, learn du'as, you know, do courses, all sorts of things. On social media, these courses are available. You know, you can go on YouTube and do all sorts of courses. Now, you can actually, I think, Ustaz said, probably do Daras-e Nizami on social media as well.
Easily.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So there's all them things that are there. But then, are we saying that, do we completely boycott it? Or do we say that we need to control it? How do you start? Those people are out there. You see, okay, so are we saying, have we got the people on the left here? And the people on the right here?
We haven't got a brother's opinion.
Brother's been quiet.
From the ultimate, you know, if Surah Nuh, right? Surah Nuh, it talks about how the story of Nuh alayhi salam, Allah sent him to a nation and all the difficulties Nuh alayhi salam had propagating to his nation that Allah is one, etc. And he actually made a deal with them. He said to them that, you know, believe Allah is one, worship him, he will give you loads of wealth as well. And he'll open up the skies for you. He'll do everything for you. So he went on this journey. And in Surah Nuh, there's like two or three scenes. One is the initial journey. And that is like, is in two parts, where he initially starts propagating Islam. And he says, oh Allah, I spoke to them. And the only thing that's happening is they're becoming more adverse to me. They're becoming more stubborn. They're becoming more harsh. And then there's like a second phase. He says that every time I speak to them, they put their fingers in their ears. They don't want to listen. They don't want anything to do with it. Then he says, Ya Allah, I've spent my day, I've spent my night propagating Islam. He says, I've told them in secret, I've told them openly. So openly, we would say this is social media. Secretly is like infradi koshish. He says, I've told them openly, I've told them in secret, I've tried every single way to convey the message to them. They're still not listening. So then it goes on to the result of what happened to the nation of Nuh alayhi salam. But what we learn from that, and his actually, if you read that story and what Nuh alayhi salam went through and the challenge he faced in propagating Islam, he tried every single way to propagate Islam. Any resource he could get his hands on, he tried to convey Islam to them. But ultimately, he said it to them, like all prophets do. He announced it to them. He spoke to them directly. That didn't work. Then he went on to the next step. Then he went on to the next step. Any single way, he didn't leave any stone unturned. Every way he can try to deliver the message, he done so. And then obviously, some of them accepted, some of them rejected, and the great flood came. But what we look, you know, social media, ultimately, the way to spread Islam is the way Dawud Islami and Rila Sunnah has given us through infradi koshish, through giving khutbah on Jummah, is through like lectures, etc., right? Writing books. That's always been the way. Over time, you will get like different trends, different like kind of strategies, and you incorporate them within the Dawah network. But they're not the primary ones. The primary ones would be the ones where the Prophet stood on a mountain and announced it to the nation. That would be the primary way of spreading Islam, like straight, direct, open in front of everyone. The secondary and, you know, the rest of the ways that you can ideally or can, you know, to some extent spread the message of Islam is good. I'm not saying don't do it. It's just the general scrolling, because when you go on these applications, it's not just Islamic feed in there. You know what I'm saying? It's not just Islamic. Actually, even when it is Islamic, you're going to have some people who are classed as Muslims, dressed as Muslims, but they're delivering a different message. They're inviting you towards something else. So there's so many different dangers. Yesterday, someone asked me a question about a loan and going on Hajj, and he brought out this fatwa. And this fatwa was literally written by a non-Muslim.
Allah.
And obviously he was a layman, and I had to explain to him, this fatwa, what he said, he's not a Muslim. And he was shocked. He's like, how on earth is he quoting verses and commentaries, etc., and he's not a Muslim? And I explained to him, he understood. He goes, thank you for telling me. So what you find on social media and where it ends up taking you, and the algorithm that's designed, because ultimately what they want is your money, or they want to strip you of your faith.
But you know, Ustaz, I was in Australia and someone mentioned this to me, and I've just looked it up now. Hikikomori. Right? Hikikomori is a Japanese term for a phenomenon of severe long-term social withdrawal where individuals, primarily youth and young men, isolate themselves at home for over 6 months, sometimes years. It's becoming a phenomenon in Japan. And at the moment, more than 1.5 million people are affected by this. Now, people haven't gone to that extreme, but there's a lot of people that don't go to listen to the speech. They don't go to listen to the Friday khutbah. And if they do go, you know yourself, Ustaz, so when it comes to the Friday khutbah, right? In the last 30 seconds, how many people run through the door, yeah? And yet, you know, if you go to, alhamdulillah, I've seen the African, I was in, you've been there, in Ireland.
Ireland.
Yeah, you saw them there half an hour before you're even there, the masjid is full, right? But within our Asian community, unfortunately, it's another phenomenon where we try and time it such that we arrive just as you're about to do the khutbah, just as you finish the speech. And so people are not getting that dose of Niki Gidawat, if you wish, or dose of knowledge, if you wish. And people are becoming more and more isolated now. People are spending more and more time at their home now. You know, even like I had a meeting today, and I said to the brothers, can we finish the meeting quick? It was an online meeting. Can we finish the meeting quick? I said, why? I said, well, you know what? I need to go and get some milk and bread and eggs. You know, there's none of that. Order it online, halabai, you're old school now. Everybody else. I'm like thinking, you know, do we never leave the house anymore? Is that what the world has become? And everything's online now. Everything's in this seclusion. And so because of that, you know, you say it's different. You mentioned that there's different avenues of giving nikikidawa. But because of that now, we've got to accept that that exists now. Social media exists. These social media platforms exist. You cannot turn people away from them. You might be able to turn you away. You may be strong and you can say, okay, I can lock it in. Bilal Bhai, you said to me, I've switched off social media. But I think, you know, if we were to do a poll of all the people that are watching now, 99% of the people of today, I've got some sort of interaction with social media. Mm-hmm. And I tell that 99%, if they are honest with themselves, then probably 75% will admit that they do spend a lot of time on there, excess time on there, that is probably could be classed as wasted time. So it does exist. It does exist. And what we need to do is we need to find a way of like saying, okay, you go on social media where we cannot stop you, right? And we're not here to stop you. As Shiraz Mali says, we can't issue that fatwa, right? But what we can do is we can say, okay, if you are going to use social media, at least use it for the right reasons.
Now, however, I think what the nowadays society, if you look at it, like, okay, infradi koshish, mine, and obviously your call to righteousness will work with some people. But now we're getting more and more people, they like to do their own research. So regardless, I might be giving them an hour and a half lecture. Until they don't physically go and research themselves, they don't believe it. So it's very important that on that aspect, you know, like Shiraz Bhai is mentioning, yeah, they may fall into the wrong hands. So with that in mind, we have to do more work on social media. So yeah, where every point this person is trying to
access
or go into a different direction, like from Liverpool, he wants to go, he's been diverted to Manchester. We'll have to try our utmost best to
stand
keep him on
the
that road.
Saying, this is the right way.
This is the right way. This is to Liverpool.
No, mashallah. I think coming back to what Shiraz Bhai said, you know, these social media kind of companies are there for your money and your attention. And what in essence he was saying was, they want your time because money and attention is time, isn't it? They get your time.
We've got a package of the day, which is one of the departments of Dawah. I think it's only a few minutes documentary. And inshallah, Zaid Bhai is with us as well. He's responsible for this department here in the UK. We'll discuss it after we see this package. Let's go to the package of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
It's the Islami. It's a rapture.
For character building, Dawah Islami has another department as well, in which various short courses and long courses are created, namely the Shohbah Madani courses. The Madani courses department has also been created. And you'll be pleased to know that in 2025 alone, more than 21,000 courses were conducted on different topics. And in the same year, 2025, the number of people who attended these courses were more than 400,000 people. Yes, 400,000 people attended these courses to improve
the knowledge of the deen of Islam. Once again, I encourage you all to find out where these courses are taking place. Enroll on these courses, join these courses. A lot of these courses are maybe in your localities and you're not even aware of that. Find out what is happening in your locality and attend these courses.
It's the Islami. It's a right to rectify the people. It's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, that was a promotion for our courses department. And yes, Zahir by mashallah is responsible for our education department, so I did make a little bit of a mistake. But lucky for me, we also have our brother that's responsible for the courses here with me on Maharaj as well. And they both work together, alhamdulillah. Yes, so Bilal bhai and Zahir bhai, if you can tell us a little bit about what happens with regards to the courses department here in the UK and the impact it has on the education department as well, because we want to discuss about the education department.
So, I mean,
as well.
I'll give an overview of the courses setup that we've got. We've got the Tanzimi courses, which is the namaz, how to rectify your namaz, the harat, you know, all those type of courses. But at the same time, within the UK, or not in the UK, all around the world, we have other issues, problems within the community. So we would like to, you know, give the opportunity to the youth or the community in terms of community courses. So to educate them on a community level. So alhamdulillah, within the courses department, we've been working closely with Zahir bhai, is to have a calendar where we can do best of both worlds. So we can give them the education in terms of namaz, we can give them education in terms of the Quran Pak, but at the same time, give something to them in terms of community. And with that way, what we can do, we can attract certain people that a namaz course, for example, may not attract, but a community event can do so. So inshallah, Zahir bhai will go further, explain it in regards to youth and how you've managed to attract many, because obviously if you can give them a few examples, especially for the viewers, in the recent times, how much you've managed to get the youth involved.
Jazakallah, Bilal bhai. And I think one, you've mentioned how the courses department makes a difference. And I'll explain what the youth and education department is. It's two departments joined together, but I'll focus on it as one department, inshallah. Our main purpose is to keep young people within the UK connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the house of Allah and their identity as a Muslim. And as you mentioned, we work closely together. And the way that works is that we have the courses which are primarily focusing on the deen aspect of a Muslim. Yeah. Now, what we focus on is how we can help them use that deen aspect that the courses provide and also utilize that in the dunya. Because we got to be real. We live in a Western country, and we need to also keep that in mind when we're focusing on our daily lives. So what the education department and the youth department started doing is started to use the courses that you provided and then making them more youngster friendly. And the thing is, because we're talking about social media, we already know that the attention span of youngsters is decreasing. And our traditional courses, they used to be an hour long, 2 hours long. And what we started to do is we started to decrease them.
Months long.
Yeah, they used to be months long. Mm. That is true. And we started to decrease them to a shorter time. We're still delivering the same content, but we're delivering it differently. Now, majority of it is study circle based. So we get them to learn, but at their own pace. For example, if we're covering a topic, mental health, for example, and that's something else that the education department covers, whereas we tell them the Islamic benefits from the courses perspective, and then from the education side, we tell them how to get help in terms of this worldly life. And that's what we started to do. We started to utilize these topics and get them to reflect on it. So for example, instead of teaching them something, we ask them questions beforehand. Be like, this is what you've learned, but can you tell me what your thoughts are on this? And then they reflect on it and they have this group discussion. And we've learned that when they have that group discussion, they tend to retain that information for longer and they tend to actually learn more. And then afterwards we tell them, okay, yeah, you mentioned this, but we have this mentioned here as well. So that's one of the things that we started to do in terms of courses. Now, our main focus is our youngsters, and we've been focusing on their character, on their confidence and their belonging to Islam. Because another thing we notice is that nowadays we're losing that connection to Islam, that belonging of Islam. So we've started to focus on that. And one way we started to, and also their leadership, because we want them to be future leaders. So we don't only focus on bringing them into the masjid, we're focusing on making them leaders. So like recently we've had two youth retreats, which have now been led by youngsters. I've not been involved in them at all. I was there for support.
You're not young anymore, are you? you're still young.
I forget that always.
That's what I'm saying. Led by youngsters. I wasn't even there. What does that make you?
Yeah, that is true. I always forget that because I always tell you we need more youngsters and you said you're forgetting that you're a youngster.
Yes.
That is true, alhamdulillah. So yeah, but I've started because I've had that experience. So but what I want is if I'm not there, it still needs to run. And the way that's going to run is if our current youth become leaders as well. And that's what we've done. So two retreats we've had. The Bradford one, we had 90 people there.
Mashallah.
Mashallah, 90 youngsters. And I was there for moral support, but it was led by our youngsters that used to come to retreats and now they're running these retreats. So that's what we're focusing on, making them our leaders, our future leaders.
Was that weekend that I visited three retreats in that weekend? Was that the same one?
That was the same one.
You had them up and down the country. One was in... Slough. One was in Birmingham somewhere.
Yeah, Smitherick,
Sandwell, and the other one was in Bradford. Mashallah, excellent it turned out. Excellent turnout, and all three of them, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, we had a lot of turnout on that one.
And I think one of the things that was requested by everybody in that was, when's the next one?
Yeah.
When are the next ones? And I think this is where, you know, I'm hoping that we can bring them forward. It's another way, viewers of the channel, of getting the youth engaged, mashallah, the education department, of not only... working inside the masjids, but they're actually going into the universities, into the university campuses as well, visiting the campuses, doing ikhtidawat on the campus sites, arranging courses in the university campuses as well as these retreats in which they have these workshops in Alhamdulillah. So there's a lot of work that's going on, and I advise anybody that's watching this program now, if you are amongst the youth, as they would say, then there should be numbers at the bottom of the screen. You can contact the numbers, inshallah, and the brothers will contact you and let you know about the future events that are taking place.
Because we need volunteers. I'll give you the current statistics. Our overall reach this year was 5,751 youngsters. Youth.
That's this year so far?
That's this year. No, that was last year.
Last year.
And that's all the numbers I've received. It might be more than that, okay. But the numbers I've received. Sure. Now, if we look at the population of England, we have... Over 53% of the Muslim population is youth, is people under 25. Now, we only reached 5,000. And why is that? Because obviously we've tried to do as much as we can ourselves, but we can't run everything. We can't do everything ourselves. And that's why we need volunteers. And like you mentioned, we need people to step forward and help us with that because 5,000 is nothing.
Now, I think it would have been a lot more than that. I think you got yours in with that quite late in the year. So there is that positive. I think it would be a lot more this year. I think I'm hoping that we touch 100,000 plus this
Inshallah.
Year. And I think it's feasible very easily. These events are taking place up and down the country. I think if viewers can come forward and not only participate, but also become the volunteers as well. We want you all to participate, but we also want you to become the workers as well and assist us in this mission. And because that is the mission statement of Dawah Islamiyah, that I must strive to rectify myself and the people of the whole world.
Mashallah.
Excellent work. Excellent work. Viewers on the channel, we've got a little quiz now, but not for you, for the people in here, seeing if they're observant. We've got a little quiz, and it's basically, well, let's go to the...
Is it a puzzle of the day?
The puzzle of the day, that's what I was thinking of. I couldn't think of the word.
Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow, with Quran's wisdom, let it flow.
Okay, guess the blessed place, there you are. Okay. You know, yesterday when we said, can you give us another clue, it just showed the sky. It just showed the sky.
Can we confer as a team? Or
No. I think we should wait. I think we should wait. Should we go to the next one?
Yeah, I think they should remember.
Can we have another clue, please? The puzzle of the day.
Let's open up the other side of the sky.
Are you people that... Oh.
That's what I was thinking.
I was thinking that.
Go on, can we have the next ones one by one to confirm the answers? Yes, go on. That wouldn't have really helped as much. No. Another one. You know what? I think if Hafiz al-Fakir is making these, he's making it too easy for the people in here. I think we need to make it a bit harder for them.
I think they shouldn't have taken that square away.
Yeah. They shouldn't have.
That was a revealing square.
Take another square away, one by one.
Take them all away.
Take them all away, one by one. There you are.
But I think the question should be, what's the name of... Not because we don't want the general name, we want the name.
Okay, give us the name then.
No, I'm asking the question. I'm taking
the name. Go on, take the other two away. There you are. Bayt al-Muqaddas, mashallah.
Well, that was the point. It isn't.
It isn't Bayt al-Muqaddas. It's another one, isn't it? There's another one. Dom, yes.
Qubbat al-Sakhra, isn't it?
Qubbat al-Sakhra.
What's it called, this one?
Dome of the Rock.
Dome of the Rock. Dome of the Rock. Dome of the Rock, mashallah.
So that's where, on the night of Miraj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he transcended towards the skies from that area.
Mashallah. Jazakallah. I think next time we need to make it a bit harder for these people in the studio. I think even our viewers will have got that one right. Back to the topic of the day. How does that, you know, topic of the day, social media, a blessing or a distraction? You're with the youth. It probably affects the youth more than anybody else. Mm. How do you see it?
I mean, I was listening in to a few of the arguments. I think there were good points being raised. I don't fully agree with the fact that we need to fully get rid of social media, because the youngsters, it will never work. Mm-hmm. Because if we expect them to, of course, this is our goal. We want them to come to the masjid and come to the Jummah khutbahs and the ishtimas that we're having. But that's not everyone right now. So we need a way to deliver messages to them. And the way to do that is social media.
True.
And social media, we'll reach them that way. And I thought I'll bring in some research. So whilst I was sat there, I looked it up as well. And there's research papers, peer-reviewed research paper, not just random social media ones. And it shows that online religious engagement can increase connectedness and spiritual reinforcement in youngsters. So that's fully peer-reviewed research. And then there was another one that sharing positive moral content increases like their response as well. So if we're sharing things that usually Dawat Islami and we focus on, is we focus on how to better yourself and general content which makes a person happy. We're doing that. It might be good for someone who's coming into the masjid.
You know, social media, correct me if I'm wrong, this is how it works. Like, you open up an app, you're going to see 10 different, you know, clips. And then I'm going to get to your clip.
Yeah.
Now, by the time I get to your clip, I've already bought something. Mm. Or, you know, I've already had an idea. You get food, you get so many different things, right? What I'm trying to say is, to get to your clip, right, all the interference and obstacles I'm going to have in between that, there's a question mark on that. You know, the hadith is actually here. The Prophet ﷺ said to Hazrat Ali, Ya Ali, la tutbi'in nadratan nadra. That when you glanced once, don't let your eyes glance again.
Allah.
فَإِنَّ الْأُولَى لَكَ. The first one is forgiven, pardoned. وَالْأُخْرَى عَلَيْكَ. The second one will go against you. The second one will go against you. Yani the second glance. So you know on social media, you're going to, is inevitable. Yeah. It's not even just looking at bad, it's music as well.
Mm.
It's full of music. And there's another hadith from Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Isa bin Miriam. Qala iyyakum wan nadhra. I warn you against yani gazing. فَإِنَّهَا تَزْرَعُ فِي الْقَلْبِ شَهْوَةً. It harvests in the heart lust and desire. And when you're looking at, even when you're driving and you see billboard signs, etc., selling you different wear, it harvests desire in the heart. And that's where any evilness comes in from. Shaitan starts to take over from there. We're trying to become a better person. We're trying to change ourselves. You know, one issue I had with, especially with the younger students, the new generation students, the Gen Z, as they call them, isn't
Allah.
It?
Yes. So what Gen are you?
I don't know what Gen I am. 1995.
He's kind of in between us and them, isn't he?
I've seen both sides. You know, I remember the time when we had no phones, and I remember the time we do have phones. So I'm from that generation.
You're showing your age now.
So, you know, the students, I've seen this kind of pattern that the more, some time ago, the students had this capacity of engaging for more than 25 minutes. And now I struggle to teach them, a full lesson with the explanation, because their capacity is decreased.
You know, it's funny you say that with your students. There's one of your students, his father's a driving instructor, right? And he said to me that, because he's been a driving instructor for 25 years now, he said, the students that I get today are dumber than the students I got 15 years ago.
Exactly.
I said, what do you mean? And he said, they just don't listen, or they just don't understand.
Yeah, they don't get it.
Open. Yeah. He says, I have to like drum it into them. I went, how is that possible? I said, maybe it's, just, he said, no, all the students across the board, right? He said, I'm finding it hard. I said, maybe you become different. He said, I should become better now, really, with all the experience, but I'm finding it harder and harder and harder
to get to understand that. There's going to be youngsters watching, right? And they're going to think, right, we just don't. That's literally not what
we're trying to say. Don't worry, I got you. I know you're not dumb.
And the education department.
I know you're not dumb.
Listen,
it's how they're focused rather than their intellect. Their intellect is still there.
It's nothing to do with the youth. I think I'll be honest with you as well, Ustaz Sabda. You know, I used to sit and read a book, right? 30, 40, 50, 60 pages, no problem, right? Now I sit and read a book and I've read 3 or 4 pages and I say to myself, what did you read? And I have to go back again. Because otherwise I'm like just, it's a tick in the box reading. Because if it doesn't sink in, then, and so now I'm realizing that myself, my attention span isn't what it used to be. And so I have to focus more on what I'm reading. Whereas previously it was like reading was relaxing. And now it's like, I'm having to focus on it. Concentrate on what I'm reading, you know, push things away, you know, put the phone in the different room and, you know, switch everything off.
You know, I was reading this article, and obviously we're not the type of people to watch movies, but this is how they're working now in the movie industry, film industry, where before they would design a film where the actual script and the actual acting, they could be separate. So you'll have facial expressions and you could, any half of the story was based upon the actual facial expressions. But now what they're doing is they are actually having to make the script such that even if the person is scrolling through his social media, he still knows what's going on the TV screen. So the script now is designed such that they know he's not going to be watching and he's going to be on social media. And that's how buddies got where they can't, even movies are supposed to be entertaining. People, you know, watch them all night. They binge watch a full, you know, series in one night. Even now, they have to have the movie on and at the same time, they have to be scrolling. And I think that is like literally, I mean, that's gone beyond consumerism. And it's really about that. And what Amir Ali Sunnat, and that's a test to the students I give them all the time. Just 10 minutes, don't do nothing. I'll give you £10. They can't do it. They cannot, literally, the young generation, for 10 minutes, you should put that into your, you know, your weekend retreat.
If you've seen this room, I've seen this social media post, right, where it shows a picture of an island with one house on the island. And it said, could you live here without TV, without internet for 1 month? And I'm going, yeah, definitely, I'd love to do it.
You know, island, as you're going into Dublin to land, there's a little island just before there in the middle of nowhere, just there, yeah. And I think, honestly, great.
You know, I remember when WhatsApp went down for a couple of times. It went out down for a few hours and I thought,
great.
Brilliant. I think
You know, there was another one, a restaurant, money was, and his end of the week, whatever he was making was going lower. Like he's having less food. And as they looked into why this is happening, is because literally they've got internet. And as Wi-Fi has come in and social, over time, what's happened is people are sitting there, they're looking through their phones for 10 minutes, then they're deciding what to order. And then once they've ate, they're still looking through their phones. So they're like on the tables for an extra 30, 40 minutes.
Wow.
So that's lowering his actual money income coming into the restaurant. And now that's why you're going to find a lot of restaurants, they don't even have Wi-Fi now. And they're trying to restrict it because you're taking too long sitting there. So, you know, this is actually an internal problem.
But it's become an addiction, hasn't it, though?
It's become an addiction.
You know, but you remember, where we had a serious situation and we had a meeting in the UK, Musharrat, and everyone was asked to put the phones down or put them in a basket and they couldn't do it.
Oh, yes.
They couldn't do it. The starts out, they couldn't do it.
They can't.
And, you know, the phone's there. Right? It's there. No. We have to have it here. You know, it's like, it's our oxygen. We can't. And what actually brother said, it's my oxygen. I can't not have the phone in my hand. Yeah?
And they were reluctant to turn it off.
No, but just watch a person. You know, when you take the phone off, the phone's there.
He's constantly looking what you're doing.
He's looking, fidgeting, you know. It was funny because I was in Medina Park and I was speaking to a friend of mine. His father was with us and I said, Uncle, you know, people are ridiculous these days because what they do is they read 2 rakats of tarawih and then they take their phone out and they check it. And father and son started looking at each other and I didn't know what had happened. And father had told him off for doing exactly that.
Same thing.
And I stepped in it by saying, you know, people are doing this. I mean, how ridiculous can you get? And I was really going off. And dad's laughing and son's just cringing. And afterwards, I got told he'd had a go at him. But that's what people do. Every 2 records, they'll take out their phone, they'll go through that, see what new messages there are. And then they've got this thing where they think, well, I'll catch your mum's up before he gets to the cool. And I think, oh my God, yeah, you can't even read the Ravi.
Allah. You know, the actual social media where you got Islamic literature, scholars speaking, Amir al-Sunnah's on social media to the interview. That's very good. And we're talking about the harmful side of it, the evil side of it. That, which is inevitable. In all walks of life, is inevitable. You know, I was doing a speech here in Jummah yesterday, and I mentioned this hadith that the fire of hell, when Jibreel alayhi salam went to see it, Jibreel alayhi salam said to Allah, Ya Allah, no one's going to ever go there.
Yeah. Allah.
No one ever will enter into the fire of hell. It's too scary, it's too fearful. And then Allah said to him, go check again. And Allah placed desires
all around it,
around the fire of hell. And I mentioned this yesterday, I put in a metaphorical, a different way. I said, you know, when you're looking at that post on TikTok or any other platform, when you're watching them clips that you shouldn't be watching, just remember behind that desire is the fire of hell in disguise. The good stuff in social media is very good. And, you know, even I benefit of that many times. A lot of us do benefit from that. But the harms, no one can deny the harms of social media. And I think especially in the younger generation, what they are going through, speaking to them, their psychology is different. You tell them to close a door. Back in the days, you tell someone to close the door, the youngster will go do it, he'll come back, sit down. I told someone to close the door the other day. He was literally pointing at which door. And then he's not even closed it. He's just, you know, moved it a bit forward. Like the brain cells are fully, if they need one of them painting a wall or cleaning a rug clip next to any task that they do, because they're not present anymore.
I mean, your students are not really helping me. My point.
I saw another social media clip, and it just reminded me of what he said, that, you know, 1990, you put food in front of a kid, right? And the kid doesn't eat it, the father goes, the kid eats it. Right?
Yeah.
2010, they put the food in front of the kid doesn't eat it, the father goes, and the kid starts eating it. 2025, they put the food in front of the kid, he doesn't eat it, the father does this, he's not bothered. Now he puts the screen in front of him, puts the social media in front of him.
He's eating it.
He's eating.
But haven't we developed that into their brains?
Exactly.
Because we have done this. It's easy to blame the youngsters when they were younger.
Exactly.
100%.
I've had this argument before.
You know, I think to myself now that I grew up in a time where there wasn't mobile phones whatsoever. I grew up at a time where the TV only had 3 channels on it, right? I grew up at a time where 9 o'clock at night, the TV went off, right? And it was blank for the whole of the night. And I'm thinking, how did people survive?
But don't we provide alternatives, Khalid? Say, for example,
but we did.
Your mum made roti.
But we did survive. That's what I'm trying to say.
Your mum made
food. And we loved it.
Right? And you said, I'm not eating this. Yeah. What would happen? So, but this is all there is.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want it, have it.
Otherwise, starve.
Starve, yeah. So this is what it is. We've been through it. They made it. They went out of their way to make the food. And if you did nakhri, as we say, they said, fine. There were no snacks.
No.
You used to bring crisp occasionally. There were no sweets. There were no biscuits. So you knew if you didn't eat.
You're thinking we're talking about the ice age there, aren't you?
Yeah. No, these days, what he
the youngsters
knows,
are laughing at you about it.
I've got.
No, this wasn't that long ago.
I'm just thinking what you used to do back then. Nowadays, if we told the youngsters, fair enough, you're not eating. This is all we cook you. They would order it because they've got bank accounts.
I've got an 11-year-old and a 16-year-old. Yeah, they're not quite at that stage. But what they do is, in the back of the mind, they know there's crisp and biscuits and everything else and snacks stacked throughout the house. Even if I don't eat this,
you're gonna get that.
I'll get that. And I said to him, you can't have a snack. They said, fine, I'm going. They go upstairs. And then as soon as I'm out and about, or I'm away, right, straight into the garage, they're getting the snack.
They've probably got the snacks in the bedroom.
Who buys the snacks?
Exactly.
But you know what? We were mentioning about kids going on their phone. One thing I did want to mention, we've tested this out on retreats. Kids don't go on their phone that much. So I think there is a way to get them off.
During a retreat, you could take the phones off them for 72 hours?
Not for the whole 3 days.
If we
tried that one time, Allahu Akbar. We did it on the summer camp last year. We picked a location that had no Wi-Fi. The location had no Wi-Fi. I think they were going to die.
Yeah, no. I actually went to this location.
And you left. You left early as well.
I didn't stay the night. You know, trying to get to the location. You know, it was scary because it was 9 o'clock when I went and there was no lights, nothing.
No Wi-Fi.
Middle of nowhere, through the woods. You know, I thought a bear's going to jump at me. But when I went there, there's a total different atmosphere, Halabite. that yes, there was no Wi-Fi, there was no mobiles, anything.
But did you see the
everybody were together? Okay, but there may have certain groups, so they came from certain areas, so they were sat down together. So it was a very beautiful thing to
peaceful.
Look at.
Allah.
Peaceful.
But you didn't stay though, did you?
No, I didn't stay.
Hajisab, if you was there, you would have cried probably. The sight, I wanted to cry myself. Everyone was together. Everyone was outside the building in that big garden. We were barbecuing and everyone was just, because we had to get food ready ourselves as well. There was no food there. So we were getting food ready ourselves as well. Everyone was helping each other and talking. No phones, just talking.
Mm. Allahu Akbar.
Thinking of that, I think we do make a big part into it. For example, as fathers and mothers, you know, just to get your kid off your back, just go get a phone.
It is a cheap babysitter. Yeah, the TV and the multi-channels and the social media is a cheap babysitter. And so many times I've even seen it on, you know, when you're traveling. I was on the underground, and there was a mother there with the kid on the pram in London, and she just gave the kid an iPad and put something on and said, you know, watch this, and the kid's there, not crying, not wanting any food. Yeah. Not bothered about food, drink or anything, as long as they got the tablet in front of them, that's all that matters.
Like I'm saying, exactly what Amir Al-Sunnah told us decades ago, that get yourself used to, you need self-zoning yourself, so seclusion basically, where for a certain period of time, it's just you, you know, if we have this today, it's called me time.
Yes.
Where people say, right, I'm zoning out, I'm not going to talk to anyone, it's just me time. But what really happens, they go on social media. Like that's what me time is. What you want is 10 minutes, even 10 minutes. It seems short, it's quite hard actually. 10 minutes where you're doing nothing. And you're just in your own thoughts. And that's not, you know, you're not stitching something, you're not doing tasbih. You need to get used to boredom. And that itself, now Imam Ghazali talks about this. Basically being bored. That in itself is
you know,
rewarding.
The fact that you said that 10 minutes and the fact that you said it's hard, that is in itself is a statement, isn't it?
Mm.
That having 10 minutes of seclusion, 10 minutes of seclusion is hard, tells us something, doesn't it? That we can't, but I'm here, we can go for hours. Yeah, we can go for hours on here. Why is it that we find it hard to have 10 minutes of seclusion?
You know, I've got to a point, I might be selfish, you know, if I'm going on a journey and I don't need to go on with anyone. I love the seclusion time, it's just you and yourself. When you're driving to Madinah Channel or back, even when you're going on a walk, sometimes where you got the keys of Fazani Medina, it's 11 o'clock, Isha was at 7, I'd go in, do wuzu, sit there on my own. It's peaceful, it's beautiful. You know, when you enjoy your own company and you're away from the dunya, that's when you feel the actual taste in salah, the taste in fasting. But until then, if you're a man who actually sits on the toilet and uses social media, or you're sitting on the dining table using social media, you're going to be very far from actually the sincerity in prayer.
Sorry, Harun, but I saw a social media post and it said that if we were to treat the Quran in the same way that we treat social media, right? And it shows this person in bed, he rubs his eyes and he opens the Quran.
Allah, Allah, Allah. What a beautiful.
Right? He goes downstairs, he's having his breakfast, reading the Quran.
Allah, Allah.
He's in the car driving, he's reading the Quran. He's doing his shopping. You know, he's got a trolley in front of him and he's putting stuff in it and he's reading the Quran. And it really kind of like hit home.
Yeah.
It did hit home the amount of time that, you know, we do spend on this. And I think, you know, as I'm listening, I'm like making intentions now to try and, and you know, you're right. I like driving on my own.
You know, there is a person.
That's my me time.
There's a person who does that. Well, he's a Qari. He just listens to Qiraat all day and he just be smiling guy and he be replicating. All day, that's all he
does.
You see, what it comes back to is this, Khalid, it's what you've trained the mind to do. When you look at the life of the blessed companions of Akka Kareem, look at the awliya Allah, they love reading the Quran. They could read for hours. Yeah, we sit there, we can scroll for hours without, and the time's flown by. They could do, you know, standing, Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 1,000 nafils a night.
Yeah.
And that is because they enjoyed this. We enjoy social media. We've trained our mind to it. They train their mind to the zikr of Allah. I think summing up, Khalid Bey, with social media, there are different levels. Now, there's the basic level where you watch, filter what you watch and kind of enjoy what's knowledgeable. Okay. Don't scroll. Scroll is, it's like jumping into a well. There may be water that catches you and brings you afloat, And it may be an empty well, and you hit the bottom, and end up committing sins.
Viewers of the channel, we've got the question of the day. We've only got 2 minutes. Can we have the answer to the question of the day on the screen? The answer is, Makatul Mukarrama, make your social media a means of Jannah, not a means of regret. Until the next time, keep watching Madri channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom, let it flow. Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom, let it flow.